Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. I would like to open us in prayer, so if you'll please bow your heads. Dear Lord, thank you for bringing us all here safely today so we can be together and remember the life of our beloved friend and family member, my grandfather, Ronald Osborne. Lord, you know the sorrow that is on our hearts today, yet you remind us in the book of Matthew, blessed are those who mourn. For when we are brokenhearted, you draw near and comfort us. We pray that you hear our call and shower us with that comfort during this time. As we reflect on the incredible life that Grandpa had, we pray that the memories we made together brings peace unto our hearts, brings smiles instead of tears, and brings strength to carry us through. We know that Grandpa is resting with you now. He's no longer in pain. He's no longer suffering. And for that, we're grateful. We also know that because we have eternal life with you, our souls will be reunited with him in your perfect timing. When we leave here later today, we pray that you continue to keep us close and help us to carry on Grandpa's legacy by exuding the qualities about him that we admired so much. His warmth, his love, his commitment to family, and his kindness. Let us not be sad because our time with him is over, but let us be thankful that it happened. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, the song we're about to play is sung by my beautiful cousin, Kristen Osborne. And when Grandpa heard her sing years ago, he specifically requested her voice be a part of this day.
Oh,
Good morning and welcome. I'll just say a short prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for being here in our presence. You would promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, you are there. You are right here with us. So we welcome you, the Holy Spirit of Jesus, in our presence, even now, at all the important moments of our lives. And even when we don't want you around, you're around. And we thank you for that. We thank you for following us and pursuing us as only the lover of our souls could. Be with us in these moments, we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Dying, Christ destroyed our death. Rising, Christ restored our life. Christ will come again in glory. As in baptism, Raleigh put on Christ, so in Christ he will be clothed with glory. Here and now, dear friends, we are gathered, and we are God's children. What we shall be has not yet been revealed, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And those who have this hope purify themselves, just as Christ is pure. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and I am the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I hold the keys of hell and death. Because I live, you shall live also. Friends, we have gathered here to praise God and to witness to our faith as we celebrate the life of Raleigh Osborne. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in this pain we may find comfort. In this sorrow we will find hope. And in death, our own resurrection. Amen. There is a song printed in the bulletin, Church in the Wildwood. We'd ask that you sing along with us. For those of you who read music, I'm sorry, but you don't have that. You'll have to try to figure it out.
No.
Dale Osborne, son of Raleigh, will bring the eulogy.
I've got my wife Sharp here just to ensure if I don't get through it, she will. Hey, Dad, just like you. It's going to be hard for me to do, but I'm going to give my best shot. Make my help. I just wish I had some of the pillows that my dad had when he was giving speeches. When Nancy asked me to give this eulogy, I certainly hesitated and told her, Nancy, I'll never get through the first sentence without losing it. And I've already done that. So we decided on Monday that we would just type something up and we would just give it to the pastor to read it. That's when my mom piped up and said, make sure you give it to me first. Most of you have read the obituary by now. You can see what a wonderful man he was and the number of accomplishments he had. But let me tell you, he had many more than that. Between Dad and Mom, they were really a great family, and we all appreciated what they did for us. He and my mom were great together, even to the end. Over these past many months, Mom was not only his wife, but became his caregiver. As the Parkinson's got worse, when the memory started to fail him. Mom, you were amazing. And now it's time for you to take a breath and relax, because Dad is now in the better place. Probably the best memories of being with Dad were on the golf course. I can't tell you how many rounds of golf I've played with him. I'm sure it's in the hundreds. At an early age, I would go to Royal Oak Golf Course with him and caddy for him when he was in the bank league. I might have been 11 or 12 years old at that time. By that time, I had played a little golf myself, and one Saturday morning, I was there caddying and someone did not show up. My dad spoke up and said, my son thinks so. And here I am, 10 or 11 years old. I'm confident enough that I can go out and do it. That is when our golf life started together. In the next couple of years, I became a regular in that golf course. One of my most memorable experiences was going to the Masters with him in the year 2007. That's the year Phil Mickelson won his first. But another moment, this is a little bit on the light side, was we were in Myrtle Beach on a golf trip once. Dad was staying with Uncle Dick. Jeff Sadler and I were staying in the room next to him. I was probably in my late 20s. Jeff and I went out for a while. Got home maybe about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Jeff picks up the phone and calls their room. He says, good morning, this is your 7 a.m. wake up call. We could hear the next room, Dad and Dick getting up. Shower, all that was up at 2 a.m. We hear their hotel door shut. They're heading down to that free breakfast. We go down to the free breakfast. People are saying, gentlemen, what can we help you with? Well, we're here for breakfast. Yes, yes, sir, that doesn't start until 6:30 a.m. They say, well, what time is it? Sir, it's 2:30 in the morning. We didn't hear the end of that one. But I'm sure my dad will be standing at the pearly gates with his golf clubs in tow, looking for someone to play golf with him. Dad always enjoyed family events the most. We normally had 3 big ones a year. We had the Christmas in July. We had cornhole events that Nancy and Andy would put on. And our annual Christmas gift exchange very much. These events were when the entire family was there. Dad was a big game show host for the game show fan, but he also became the game show host. When he had these get-togethers, he was always in charge of putting the games together. Does anybody know that was at these events? These were always the best of my friends. But in closing, I just want to say that And I'll see you when I get up there myself with my coats. Just don't make the tea time yet. Thank you.
I'd like to share a few words from the scripture and then a few words about Raleigh. I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm, and that's popular at funerals because, well, it just speaks of the meaning of life. And so we'll start with this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Actually, you can follow me on the turn over on the back of the program if you've got that, and we will recite that together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I'm just going to take this a little bit, a verse at a time. And this is written a few years ago, 3,000 to be exact. Well, that's not exact, but 3,000 is close enough for what we're talking about this morning. But this is written by King David 1,000 years before Christ, at the time when he was the king of Israel. He was Saul, of course, was the first king, and then David was the first king of the joint northern and southern kingdoms. So the entire plot. So what is he saying? And I'm going to read to you in the King James because I'm here and you're not. So, but the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? I've had so many people ask me that. And what David is saying is this. David is acknowledging that we are all looking for a guide in this life. We're all looking for the right path. And David says, I found the right path. The Lord is my shepherd. And because I am following him, I want for nothing. I don't need anything. Everything is in his hand. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So he's making us lie down in peaceful places. Listen to the language. Green pastures, leads beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Again, this is a continuation. If the Lord is your shepherd, then this is what you can expect. You can expect peace. You can expect to have your soul refreshed. You can expect to be led in the paths of righteousness. Because we are his kids, he wants us to represent him well. Going back to the first verse, because that's where it all begins, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I often say this. There's a singer, you may have heard of him, his name is Bob Dylan, and he came out with a couple of Christian albums in his born-again phase. Which still continues, but his record company, he's recording all sorts of things. At any rate, he said this. He says, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And we all are serving somebody. If it's not the Lord, then it's the devil. Jesus himself said, you can serve God or you can serve mammon or money or Satan. But that's the only choice. There are two choices. Moving on to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. So not only does he restore us and rejuvenate us and renew us on the inside out, and his presence is with us, even in dangerous times, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and brothers and sisters, that's where we are this morning. We are in the shadow of death. These are times when we think about the eternal. He says, I'm fine. I'm fine. I will fear no evil because you are with me. And then he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And what he's saying there, we've gotten away from an agrarian society pretty much, although there are plenty of people. Actually, right next door here, right over there are some sheep. Okay, if you want, as soon as you go out the door here under the portico, just look south and you'll see the sheep. But he says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What does that mean? The rod is used to beat off wild animals, and the staff has a hook on the end of it to get the sheep going in the right direction it should be going. And so my father said he loved this verse most of all. Because he said, John boy, that's what they call me, John boy. There are times when we need to be prodded, we need to be whacked. We need to be dragged onto the right track. And that's what David is saying here. It's a comfort to me to know that when I screw up, you are there prodding me, reminding me whose kid I am. And sometimes that hook comes around my neck and you drag me over to the right path. And they say, now go, get going. Verse 5, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. In other words, you're special. All around us are people who are competing with us, and some are enemies. Even in the darkest of hours, when it feels like this person is against you, we can pray to God and his presence will come over us and you will know that he is yours. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then he says something that is in the Old Testament was reserved only for prophets and priests and kings. Prophets of God, priests of the Holy Temple, and the king of Israel. Those are the only three that could experience this. And that was to be anointed on the head with oil by God's servant. And so what does David say to all of this? He says, look, and we'll just do a cumulative thing. The Lord is my shepherd, and because of that, he gives me all this peace. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I don't fear anything there. And when I do get off the path, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You pull me back on the staff, and I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be back in your presence. And he says, all of this is so good for me. He says, if I had a cup to hold all the mercies and love, it would run over. It's just all over me. And here is a curious verse. The last one. And I'm going to dwell on this for just a moment. After all of this, in summation, in summary, he's saying in verse 6, surely your goodness and your mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. In seminary, one of my favorite courses was Hebrew, the Hebrew language, and I'm not going to recite this to you in Hebrew now. I'm just going to give you one word. But I want to point something out to you. The only other time in the Old Testament that this word was used, it's radah, the Hebrew word, and we have it translated, and in the English it's a poor translation, I think, but it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. The word radah, that's how they've translated it. But anybody in here hunt? Any hunters in here? No? Okay, anybody hunt golf balls? I know. Okay. We got hundreds of golf balls in here. But this word was first used when Abraham's nephew, Lot, was stolen, was kidnapped by the raiders. And we read about this in Genesis chapter 14. So let me read it to you as the way it should be. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy, your goodness and mercy will hunt me down all the days of my life." What does that mean? Well, it means that we don't always want to go God's way. It means that God needs to come after us sometimes. And he's hunting us down, but he is hunting us down with his goodness and mercy. It's like somebody has to sit us down and to take us out of the terrible things that we're doing and to give us exactly what we need. "Surely your goodness and mercy are hunting me down all the days of my life," David says. "And because of that, I will dwell in your house forever, and I will sing your praise forever." Okay, so we've gone back 3,000 years. Now we're going to go up to about 1915 to Albert Einstein. We're good with that? Okay. I've got the microphone, so. Jesus said that he is the light of the world. And whenever heaven is spoken of, it is always light. There is always light. It is a place of light. Jesus indeed said, he said that he was the light of the world. "I am the light of the world." But then he also said, because we are partakers of the divine nature, he invites us in to be born again, to put on Christ, as Paul said, or to be born again, as John said. It's this mysterious, mystical, spiritual thing. He said, "I am the light of the world." And then he said, "You are the light of the world, you who follow me." So we are also the light of the world. He also said this, "My ways are higher than your ways. One day is as 1,000 years. The scripture says in the book of Revelation, he is the light, and in him there is no darkness. In heaven there is no night, there is only perpetual daylight. And we will never get old. We will live forever. There is no more weeping, no more crying, and no more dying." And so there's this experience of never-ending light. Why do we grieve at sickness and death? Because deep inside of us, we know that there's a better way. Innately, inside of us, we know that. Why do we grieve at hatred and wars and persecutions? Again, we know there is a better way. It doesn't have to be this way. Why do we grieve in the face of injustice? Again, we know there is a better way. In the Lord's Prayer, we say these words, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." We want what heaven has. We want what heaven has, where everything is just and everything is right, and there is no crying, there is no dying, there is no sickness, there is no disease. In fact, there is great rejoicing. Lord, bring that to earth. That's what we pray when we pray the Lord's Prayer. And that is where we long to be, where justice and love never end, and the rule of the land is love. In heaven there is no darkness, only light. In 1 John 1:7, he says, "Walk in the light as he is in the light." And now to Mr. Einstein. He had the theory of relativity, and part of that, if you're a nerd like me, you know this stuff, but that's all right. The theory of relativity, but as part of that, there was this theory of time compression that I want to focus just a couple of moments on. Mr. Einstein almost single-handedly changed the scientific community. And he said this about time compression. He said, "If you could enter into a vehicle that would take you very fast, you would find that you would that time would be altered." And he gave an example. Now, I'm not going to give you the exact specifics here, but we're going to say that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. There's actually a couple hundred miles on top of that, but you'll get the gist. So Einstein said this, If you could enter into a capsule or some vehicle and travel for one day at 180,000 miles per second, that's approaching the speed of light, but it's not there, you'd be gone for one day and you come back and find that 2 days had passed. Now, the closer you get, he says, now if you get to up to 185,000 miles per second, you'd be gone for one day. You're getting close to the 186,200. You're getting close to the 186,000. At 185,000 miles per second, you'd be gone for one day. And now you'd find that 10 years have passed. And he said, if you could go the speed of light and travel at the speed of light, he said, everything would become a continual now. Is that why God says in His holy word that I can see the beginning of creation and I can see the end of time? He can see all things. Well, Pastor John, that's great. You know, what about all these other philosophers and religions? I mean, how can we choose just one? Well, what about them? I mean, they're all dead. There's only one that raised again. There's only one that is still living today. And if you want proof for that, there is good proof for that. And I'd be happy to share a book with you. I've got a few left. The Case for Christ or The Case for Easter by an investigative journalist. And at any rate, that's neither here nor there. But what about them? They're all dead. Jesus is the only one who claimed to be God. He is the only one who lived a sinless life. And He was the only one who rose from the dead. Now, I did find, a couple years ago, I found where it said, you know, there are other traditions that have people raising from the dead. And I checked those out. They were fictitious gods of the Roman Empire that claimed to have resurrected. So there's only one that we know that has rose from the dead. So let me ask you a question. If you're considering this possibility or that possibility, if you're trying to find your way down the street and there's two guys sitting at the end of the street, one's alive and one is dead, who are you going to talk to? Which one are you going to choose? The one that was resurrected. The one who is living again today. I want to share one last thought with you about Raleigh. And I hope I don't cry, because he has that effect on people. Last Christmas season, we were Christmas caroling. And some members of the choir and other people that don't sing in the choir, they still sing okay. But we went around and we sang to the shut-ins of the church. And, of course, we ended up at Pat and Raleigh's doorstep. And we were invited inside. We didn't, because it was cold outside and we were a little muddy and wet. Pat didn't care. She has a white carpet, too. And I don't know if my wife would have done that, Pat. But she invited us in, and we sang. And I've got to tell you, there's this big guy, Brian. I mean, he's a man's man, right? I mean, he
talked like this.
He's got a very deep voice. He's I don't know how tall he is, 6'6 or 6'8. He's really up there. And he's shaved his head like he's Mr. Clean to add to his toughness, I guess. But here we are singing Christmas carols. And Raleigh has teared up. He's enjoying it so much. He was in heaven. And I'm looking over at Brian, and Brian is crying like a baby. So I had to stop looking at these guys. But there's something in his heart. It meant so much to him. And it was a beautiful, beautiful experience. All I can say is my parents would both cry at the drop of a napkin, too. And they always wear their heart on their sleeves. But there was that was a beautiful, beautiful day. And Brian said to me when we got back in the car, he said, "Wow." He said, "That made my Christmas." You can never outgive the Lord. We can never outgive the Lord. So brothers and sisters, family and friends, thank you for your connection with our church. It has been a privilege and an honor and a true gift. He's an amazing man, and he found an amazing woman in Pat. And we are so very happy to celebrate with you today his homegoing, where he can sing his heart out. And we know that that is what happens in heaven. And now I've written a small dismissal. I haven't printed it. But. And now may he who created heaven and earth continue to speak to us of his glory and his supremacy. May he continue to speak through the birds of the air, the flowers of the field, through every living creature, from the microscopic organisms to the grandest creatures of the air, land, and sea. May God continue to speak to us through the sun, moon, and planets of our galaxy, and through the sun, moons, and planets of galaxies many light years away. May he continue to speak to us through the simple beauty of a perfect day of sunshine, the power of the thunderstorm and the hailstorm, the soft beauty of the falling rain, and when that rain has cleared, the pristine beauty of a beautiful manicured golf course for people who enjoy and love such things and find their connection with God. And may we be ready to accept his knowledge and to put away our own puny knowledge. May we seek him where he may be found, in the pages of his holy word, in quiet meditation, and through relationship with his holy Son, who came from heaven, and even now, today, calls us to follow him home. Amen. At this time, we have a requested duet by the family. It Is Well With My Soul. Dave and Sue will come and sing this.
Pat, we have time for a couple more words before we sing here. It's a sad day, but surely a glorious day. This guy's in a lot better place. And he's not suffering. He's not in any pain. He's living the good life. You know, Raleigh, he loved life. He loved his community. He loved his family. Loved his sports. He loved this church. He loved the choir. He loved music. He's just a great asset here. He sat right back in this back row for I don't know how many years, blasting it out with us. It's called Making That Joyful Noise. There weren't many, a lot of singers in this choir. We just love to sing. And we tried our best, and I think we all got a lot of personal satisfaction out of it. I know Raleigh did. I know I did. But, you know, it's music is just such a great part of his life. When they couldn't get out of their home anymore, Mount Zwingli had the habit of delivering some of our famous Amish chicken dinners to some of the shut-ins. We'd take that and, of course, stop at their house. Wanted to share that dinner, but a bigger part of it was just conversation, fellowship, and knowing that the church cared. I always came up the question, you know, how's the choir doing? How's everybody in the choir? What are you singing? And then I'll never forget the comment that Pastor John just made that Christmas season We visited a small group, sang those Christmas carols. Raleigh was sitting right next to me, and I don't think you know it, but he reached out, held my hand, and sang along. What a feeling. Wow. Not a dry eye in the house. He loved his music, and I was even told that some of your visits recently in these last few months, music was a big part of those too. He loved his music. But I tell you, soon after he passed, we got the message, I think it was the same day, that requesting that Sue and I sing a song today. And kind of shocked me that he would want to do that. Apparently he'd heard this. We sang this at a funeral a couple funerals many years ago. Hazel Kramer, some of you knew her, but that's been years ago. Maybe for Georgia Ritchie's husband. But we hardly remembered it. But obviously, Raleigh or Pat did and must have gotten something out of it. So how could we say no? We want to try to do it. But I tell you, a lot has changed in those years. Time has taken its toll. Sue and I, neither one can hardly hear a thing. And believe me, that affects your music abilities. And time takes its toll on your voice, at least mine. We don't sing like we used to, at least I did. Not that I was ever any good anyway, but we decided to go ahead and try this today. I'd ask that you listen. Maybe even close your eyes if you like. But listen not so much to critique the music, but listen to the words. This is a very meaningful song to me. It apparently was to Raleigh and Pat. I know it was to the guy that wrote it. Yeah, there's quite a history with this song if you ever want to look that up. But it means a lot to a lot of people. So listen to the words. And listen real close. You know, if you might hear somebody from that great choir up above singing along with us. An angel, he'll be singing bass, and his name is Raleigh. Listen close. I gotta get a drink of water.
It is well.
my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Dave. And now, would you join me in reciting the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lord, dismiss us now with your blessing. You know where we're going. Some of us are going places you don't want us to go. So speak to us with your rod and your staff. Alter our plans. It'll be fine. You give us so much goodness. Why should we buck against what you want us to do? So let us every day commit our day to you and to give you praise and thanks every morning for God. That is the secret, because you tell us in your holy word that you inhabit the praise of your people. And so, Lord, help us to every day, first thing, give you thanks and praise so that we can experience your presence in that hour and throughout that day. And let us continue so that we can lead this overcoming life, this beautiful life that puts a song in our hearts and makes us cry with joy. We love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us. I pray your peace and your love and, yes, your joy and your comfort would be with the family in the days to come and on this day. We pray all of these things, knowing that you will hear and that you will answer. For it's in Christ's name that we pray, our risen Lord and Savior. Amen.